Know him tonight, aren't you? Amen. I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 10, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter number 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." I want to preach tonight the second part of The Mighty Angel and the Bittersweet Book. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you for your mercy. I thank you for what you've already done in this service tonight, the encouragement that we've had through the music, time of giving, time of prayer. Lord, we come to this time recognizing our need of Thee. And I pray for the Spirit of Christ to rest upon me. And I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit to move, Lord, in this service. Help me to be guided by Thee. And help us, Lord, to hear from heaven tonight. And I pray that we'll be encouraged by what we hear, in our mind's eye, what we see. And Lord, with the hope that we have within us, thank you for loving us, and thank you for salvation. Bless, O Lord, the remainder of this time we have together. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've seen the mighty angel who comes down from heaven and represents the Lord. The Bible teaches us he's clothed with a cloud and there's a rainbow upon his head. The Bible says that his face was as it were the sun and his feet as pillars of fire. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. What a picture. Can you imagine what John's seeing as he sees this mighty angel that comes down from heaven? Can you imagine what it must be like to see him clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, his face a pillar of fire, his face as the sun, his feet pillars of fire? His right foot's upon the sea, his left foot's upon the earth. What a picture. I'm telling you, that's a fearful thing, isn't it, when we think about it? And we see, the Bible says in verse number 2, and he had in his hand a little book open. And so tonight, as we've already looked at the mighty angel and certain aspects of him, I want to continue and finish the second part of the message about the mighty angel and the bittersweet book. I want us to see, first of all, the book. The book. The Bible says in verse number 2, he had in his hand a little book open. Now, there's all kinds of views about what this book is and what book this is. And some believe that it's the seven-sealed book that we read of in Revelation chapter number 5. You remember that? We read about that book, that one book, and nobody was able to open the book. But the Bible teaches us now that book is no longer sealed, so it's open. And some people say, surely this is that book. Others look and say that it cannot be that book because it's referred to as a little book, and the seven-sealed book would not be called a little book. Some believe that it's representative of the Word of God itself. Well, I'll tell you tonight, I don't know what book it is. Regardless of what book it is, regardless of what we may think, of which view, if any of them is right, we know that the angel had in his hand a little book and the book was open. So I'm not going to try to speculate. I'm not going to try to make it say something that it does not say. But I will tell you what it does say. The Bible says he had in his hand a little book open. And tonight, let's stick with that, all right? And let's realize that if God wanted us to know for sure what it was, he would have shown us what it was for sure. So up to this point, we see that John has simply been viewing and writing the things that he has seen and heard. But now we come to this, and John is placed into the picture. It's not just about what he's seeing, but now he's part of the prophecy. All of a sudden, after all these things that have been going on, after all the things that he's seen, and he's written them down, he's heard and he's written them down, we see that now he's included in the things taking place. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book." This voice from heaven that he's heard throughout this whole book of Revelation instructs him to go to the mighty angel and to take the little book from him. Now, if that were you or if that were me, there would be great fear to the thing that's been told to us to do. There's no doubt about it. Now, we're not talking about just somebody standing like this with his hand up there and a book in his hand. We're talking about somebody that's clothed with a cloud. We're talking about somebody whose face is as the sun, whose feet are as pillars of fire. We're talking about somebody that has a rainbow upon his head. And we're talking about somebody that's lifting his hand up into the heaven and has his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Now, you tell me that you would feel comfortable approaching somebody like that. There's nobody here tonight that would say, "Oh, that's not a problem for me." But for John, it was not a problem. And I'm going to tell you why. Because already in chapter number 1, the Bible says when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, and he said, Fear not." And it changed John's life, and it changed John's attitude. You don't see him questioning here, "Well, you know, should I really go do this?" No, the voice from heaven said, "Do it." And he did it, didn't he? So we see what the Bible is saying tonight. There's no fear to him because he's already had a personal encounter with the Lord, and the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead. I am the first and the last. I'm the Alpha Omega. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell." If somebody like that is the one touching you and saying, "Fear not," I'll tell you, you're not going to fear any longer. And so we see tonight that as these things were going on, and as fear may have come in our lives, John had already been assured that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to take care of him. The Bible is so clear about this. So John goes in verse number 9, and he says, "Give me the little book." That's pretty bold, wasn't it? But there's no argument. The Bible teaches that. It says, "Give me the little book." So apparently he gave him the book. And this voice from heaven again says, chapter 10, verse number 9. "And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." This voice instructs him. He says, "Go get the book." And he gets the book. He's obedient. When he gets the book, he says, "Now I want you to eat the book." That's strange. We have to understand he's talking about assimilating the book. He has to consume it, absorb it into his being. That's what we're to do with the Word of God. You know that, don't you? We're to bring it into our lives. We are to take it and partake of it every day of our lives. We are to eat of the Word of God. You want to know why so many Christians are drying up, why so many Christians are so anemic? It's because they fail to feast on God's precious Word. But he goes and he takes the book, and the Bible teaches us that this voice said to him, "Eat it. Eat it up." And so he eats the book. It's not the first time that we've seen instructions like this. Jeremiah chapter number 15 and verse number 16, Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." In other words, Jeremiah said, I took the word and I absorbed them into my life. I ate them up. I'm not talking about literally taking and eating it. It's talking about partaking of it. It's talking about feasting on the Word of God. It's talking about absorbing it into our lives. We see in the book of Ezekiel, you can turn and look with me if you'd like to, Ezekiel chapter number 2, verse number 10. This is what the Bible says. "And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Chapter 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." Not talking about bread, all right? Eat the roll, eat that scripture, if you will. "He caused me to eat the roll, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." So we see this is instructions that's been given throughout the ages to partake of the Word of God. So what's happening here is something that's to be, John is to partake of. And John, the Bible says, eats the little book. He absorbs it. He takes it in. He consumes it. The Bible teaches us then about the bitterness of the book. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 10, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter." The Bible says when he ate it, it was bitter to his belly. No doubt, this was a book speaking of the judgments of God. No doubt, there were things about this book that were not so pleasant. Sweet to the taste, but bitter to the belly. Just like God's Word all throughout. All of God's Word, all of God's prophecy proves that he is a God of judgment. Go over to the book of Ezekiel 37 and read where Ezekiel goes, and he says that he had a vision, and in that vision there was a valley that was full of dead, dry bones. You want to know why they were dead and why they were dry? That represented the children of Israel who had forsaken God and turned their back on God, and God sent judgment, and God dried them up. That's bitter, isn't it? What was it God told Abraham? He said, Through thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Through the children of Israel shall all the world be blessed. But here we find them in Ezekiel. They're nothing but a bunch of dead, dry, rotten bones. That's bitter for the Israelites to take. They didn't like that, did they? I read over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, after Isaiah saw the Lord, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It was bitter for him. He saw the Lord in all of his glory, and his train filled the temple, and all of a sudden he realized who he was, and he realized how little he was, and he realized the judgment of God in his life, that he was a man that was of unclean lips. He was a man that was undone, and the people was undone. It was bitter for him to see that. We see in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's hard to swallow, isn't it? I want you to understand something. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. I don't care how good you try to be. I don't care how many churches you've joined. I don't care how many sacraments you've tried to keep. I don't care how many things you've tried to do. I don't care how good of a neighbor you've tried to be. You are a sinner. I am a sinner, for all have sinned. This book's got some bitterness to it. The Bible also says in Romans chapter number 6, "The wages of sin is death." That's bitter, isn't it? This voice said, eat the book. And he ate the book. It was sweet to the taste, but it was bitter to the belly. In other words, there were some things about it that was hard to swallow, that was hard to consume, that was hard to partake. And part of it was the judgments of God. And dear friends, we might as well understand that God is a God that will judge, and this world's not going to get by with turning their back on Him. It will not happen. This country will not get by with it, and individuals will not get by with it. There's judgment that's here. We understand this. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 9, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers in themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God said there's people that can't make it to heaven. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. God said it. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. You can look there with me. Verse number 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. John says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book and to look thereon. John said, that's bitter. Here's the book that's the title deed to all the world. Here's a book that's sealed with 7 seals, and there's a call for someone worthy, and no man is worthy. There's some bitterness to God's word, to the prophecies. There's some bitterness to the truth that we must consume into our lives. But dear friends, I'm glad that's not the end of the story. We've seen the book. We've seen the bitterness. Now I want us to see the blessings of the book. The Bible says when he ate it, it was sweet as honey in his mouth. Now I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter number 37, would you? Ezekiel chapter number 37. The bitterness was there was a valley of dead dry bones. In other words, there was no hope. Here's a bunch of dead bones. How bitter it was for the children of Israel to be in such a shape. And the Bible says Ezekiel had a vision, and the Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, verse number 3, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Here's some blessings. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Hey, that scared me, a valley full of dead, dry bones, and all of a sudden you hear a noise. You know, the rattling of the bones. Ankle bone connected to the shin bone connected to the knee bone. You understand what I'm saying? There was a noise. The Bible goes on, and it says, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. I'm telling you, it was pretty bitter there for a moment, but things are starting to look up, aren't they? There was sinews and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath. They looked like Everything was all right. But there was still no breath. The Bible goes on and says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O ye breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army." Now I know this is talking about the children of Israel, and I understand that this is talking about a day yet to come. But the bittersweet book that John's been reading of is covering just things exactly like this. The bitterness is Israel turned their back on God. The Jewish children turned their back on God. He came unto his own. His own received him not. And he put them on a shelf. And he said, "I'm keeping you there. And I'm placing you there on purpose. But there is a day coming, dear friends, when somebody's going to come and going to prophesy to the children of Israel once again. And I'm telling you what, that valley of dead dry bones is going to start rising up. And bone's going to be connected to bone. And skin's going to come upon it, and all of a sudden they're going to be standing up there, and then the breath of God's going to blow, and they're going to realize that the Messiah has already come, and they're going to be restored once again. Oh, it may be bitter right now for them, but it sure is sweet in the end. Amen. I look at Isaiah. I see what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 6. You can look there with me if you'd like to. Isaiah's already said, I'm undone. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Chapter number 6, now in verse number 6. Then one of the seraphims, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." The bitterness was, woe is me. But the blessing is what God can do when he touches your life. And all of a sudden, this one that says, "Woe is me, I'm not worthy, I'm not able." When God touched him, he said, "Here am I, send me." Oh, what a story we have in the Bible. Romans chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 10, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's bitter for all of us to hear because we're all in that statement. But I want to remind you what Romans 5:8 says. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's bitter and it's sweet. I want to remind you, Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, "The wages of sin is still death. Always has been, always shall be. That is the wages, that is the payment of sin." It's bitter for everybody to hear. It's bitter for everybody to understand. But your sin will bring death to your life. It will bring death to everybody's life because that's the payment for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ or our Lord. Please understand with me tonight. It may be bitter. It may be sweet. But it takes both, because you'll never see the need of Christ until you understand you're lost, that you're a sinner. Amen. Even in these days when John is prophesying, and he will continue to prophesy, people have opportunity. He's got to prophesy the truth. And the truth is that some things are bitter. But with the touch of God, the bitter can become sweet. Revelation chapter 5. I love what the Bible has here. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you will. The Bible teaches us about these things. It says, "Unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Boy, that's bitter. But verse number 11 sure is sweet. "And such were," that's a good word, "and such were some of you." And listen to this, "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God." What a difference the blood of Christ makes. It's bitter, it's sweet. But one of my favorite stories is in Revelation 5. I love it. I love preaching on it. I love thinking about it. John's, this vision's beginning. The church is called away now. The church is gone. And John's writing the things that's going to be hereafter. And there he is in heaven, and as he's there, there's those 24 elders, and there's those four living creatures, and there's all these things going on, and worshiping God because of creation, and crying out, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." But then the Bible says, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne," God sitting on his throne, "and in his hand there's a book written on the backside, sealed within, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Strong angels proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy? Who is worthy?'" And no one was worthy. This was bitter for John to hear. He's all excited because the book that was being held in the right hand was a book that represented the title deed to everything. And the angels are crying out, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And John kept waiting for some man to step up. The Bible says that no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John says, "I wept much." Oh, it was bitter to hear. "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book, open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." How bitter that must have been. How unsettling that must have been to John to see. But the story continues. "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not.'" It's starting to get good again, isn't it? Can you imagine he's there? I can imagine John with his face in his hands, weeping, shaking. Have you ever wept in such a way you just uncontrollably shake, and he's weeping because here's the title deed to the earth and no one's worthy, and he's thinking, "Boy, what's going on?" And he's weeping and he's weeping and he's weeping, and all of a sudden an elder says, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." What I want you to understand tonight is that this book that we read of in Revelation chapter number 10 says it was sweet to the mouth, but it was bitter to the belly. Nothing has changed. Dear friends, we have people on both ends of the spectrum. There's preachers, all they want to do is get up and preach on the love of God and the sweetness of God. And that's needed. Thank God for that. But then there's the other end of the spectrum. All they want to preach about is the judgment of God. And all they want to preach about is the condemnation of God. And that's needed. But the Bible teaches us we have to have both. We have to have both. And it doesn't change, even during these terrible and tragic times. We have to have both. See, now there can be bitterness without the blessing, but I want you to understand, there can be no blessing without the bitterness. You say, "Well, that's not fair." I'll take the blessing with the bitterness than not have any blessing at all. See, there's a lot of people that's going to experience the bitterness of it all for all eternity, because they've never been redeemed. What's going on in heaven? God's showing John some things. There's this bittersweet book. Sweet to the taste. And boy, there are times I open up this book, my devotions, or I'm reading for certain things, and I start reading, and it's sweet. It's precious. It just makes me want to sometimes get up and shout glory with nobody else around. And, you know, and I've done it a few times. I'm not crazy. I'm almost, but not hardly. And I've times I've read it, and honestly, you just sense that the Lord Jesus is right there by your side. You ever been there? You can't hardly breathe. And you don't want to stop reading because you're afraid you'll stop tasting what it is you're reading. And then there's times I read this book. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, that hurt. Oh, God, that's me. I am wretched in so many ways. I battle sin every day of my life. Yes, Lord, I know I'm saved, but I know I'm still sin. I have problems with this old flesh. My mind wanders sometimes. Laziness wants to get in my bones. I haven't witnessed to anybody lately. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your grace. And in about that time, I come across where it says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I said, boy, that was bitter, but Lord, that sure is sweet. You see, we've got to have it. We've got to have the kind of preaching and teaching that tells us all the Word of God. Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, and he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. In other words, it may step on your feet, it may step on your heart, or it may make you feel like you're on the mountaintop, but I've not held anything back. I've given you all of it. Look, you can't live on dessert all the time. You've got to have the meat. These people go running from meeting to meeting just to get certain things. I worry about them sometimes, don't you? I got to have it all. That's why you got to be a part of a local church. You get it all. Get it all. So John was to assimilate this little book, to absorb it to himself. He came to an understanding of the twofold character of it, the bitter and the sweet. And today there's people that wants it one way or the other. But friends, we've got to have all of it. God is a loving, merciful, gracious God, but He's a God of judgment. And the reason John had to understand this was simply because of what the Bible says in verse number 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That literally means he must prophesy about these to these people. You have a responsibility, John. There's more to come. There's more to tell. And you can't hold back any of it. You can't hide the things that may discourage. You can't just tell them everything that's just going to encourage. They've got to have both. They've got to understand it all. He had a responsibility to all peoples and nations and tongues and kings to tell them all the truth concerning themselves. John was to absorb this bitter as well as the sweet in order to prophesy all the truth. Dear friends, you've got to have it all. I talk to some people and they say, well, I just read the Psalms every day. I just read the Psalms every day. You don't need just the Psalms. I love the Psalms and I recommend reading Psalms. Read it every day, but you better read all the Word of God. You need it all. God didn't give it to us for us not to read it and use it and partake of it. Now, it's not all written to us, but it's all written for us. It's not all written about us, but it is all written for us. We have to understand that. But it's all important. And God was helping John to see. Here we are. parenthetical time. There's been a parenthesis in the action. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, there's been an interlude. There's been a break in the action, if you will, a break in what's going on, just so we can get a better understanding of things that are going to be, that have already happened, get a better understanding of that, things that are getting ready to happen, and things that are happening right then, and the things that are getting ready to happen. I'm telling you, there's more to come. We still have the seven bowls. We still have the seventh trumpet. We're getting ready to, not next week, because we've still got the parentheses next week, but we're getting ready to come upon some of the characters of the time of the tribulation. We're going to be introduced personally to the beast, to the false prophet, to the Antichrist himself. We're going to see the great harlot. We're going to see the harlot church, if you will. We're going to see some things that are absolutely, if you've never read it or never come to an understanding of it, it's phenomenal what you're going to read, what God's Word reveals to us, and how people are not willing to take hold of the truth and to believe the truth. I'm telling you, it's what's going to happen. The mighty angel in the bittersweet book. May we take it all. Look, say, what are you preaching to me about tonight? If you're not in your Bible daily, if you're not reading your Bible daily, you are sinning against God. There's not anybody here probably that go a day without a meal. But you think you can make it without God's Word. And if you're skipping it just because you don't like what it says, you're sinning against yourself. Because you need it. We've got to have it, don't we? It's all important. I guess we could just cut it out. Take a penknife. Cut it out. Throw it in the fire. And then when we stand before God and God asks us about that portion of Scripture that should have been applicable to our life, and we say, well, I cut it out, Lord. I didn't read anything about that. I guess God's going to say, well, okay, you're excused. No, He's not. Let's make the Word of God important to our lives, all right? It's a little bit different what I was preaching on tonight, simply because of the way I wanted to reveal it, just to help us to understand the importance of this bittersweet book. Day of what's called the apocalypse and what we're seeing take place. I believe we're on the brink of the rapture. I hope he comes before November. I just do. I hope he does. I hope to never have to watch another commercial, political commercial in my life. What a blessing. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We got to pray about stuff, but until He comes, we got to be faithful to the Lord. We must be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for loving us, and I thank You for the time we've had together. Lord, it's difficult for me tonight to even know how to give an invitation. I pray that You'll give me wisdom. I pray that we'll be obedient. Lord, we'll...